We're going to be talking about different difficult parenting situations. You know, when you start out parenting, every new thing, it's exciting, but it can be difficult because you don't know what you're doing. So we were looking at this list and trying to decide what we wanted to put on it, and there are several things marked off of it, but I wanted to zero in on a few things. And the first one I wanted to talk about with difficult parenting situations is having conversations with your children, talking with your children. And it starts when they are little bitty. I have young families that actually think they're not supposed to be talking to their children about anything over their head, like sexual things or whatever, until they're way older. And when they start coming to you with questions, that's the moment that you start talking to your children about those things. But one of the difficult situations is sex. We'll do that in a minute. But talking to them, having conversations with your kids, talking with them about everything, making sure that they understand that they can come to you with whatever they have going on in their life. It starts with actually being a good listener too. Understanding, are you listening? Or as the parent, you're thinking, I already know what I'm going to say here as soon as she quits talking or he quits talking. I'm going to fix this for her. Are you listening? Do you hear the emotions going on in them? Do you hear, even when they're young, they're sharing something with you? And I remember my daughter was a talker, and I felt like she was just yeah-ing at me. And I realize now, looking back, how much smarter we are looking back, she needed me to listen to her. She needed to share those things. She was wanting that communication time. And I did, but I do know the mama brain sometimes was going, I hear her, but oh, please quit talking. So understanding that is having those conversations, having those. Don't be afraid to approach things. I mentioned that I got pregnant. I had an aunt come to me and shared some wonderful advice for me. Wayne and I got married when Josh was 6 months old. So Josh is Wayne's dad. He just is. He is his dad. But my aunt came to me and she said, I want you to make sure that you don't deceive Josh. Make sure he knows Wayne is not his father, because somebody may tell him and that's going to hurt him even more. Because family members knew, and my aunt had been married before. Her husband had died. She'd married my uncle, and one of our cousins told the kids, and they were little bitty kids when they got married, and they hadn't told them that my uncle wasn't actually their father, and told the kids when they were, middle school age, and it hurt them. So she goes, so start talking to him, give him a little bits of it right away. And so Josh was going into kindergarten, and when he was going into kindergarten, all I could think was they're going to do roll call, and on the roll, his name on his birth certificate was my maiden name. So it was coming out Josh Davison, not Josh Roberts. So I sat him down, and I said, I wanted you to know that how lucky we are, how blessed we are, that your daddy got to choose you and pick you. He fell in love with you before he fell in love with mom. And I kind of shared just enough, you know, with him to that dad got to pick you out. I don't even remember exactly, but enough that he went, He was like, okay. And I said, they may call you Josh Davison, but your name is Josh Roberts. And actually Wayne and I went and had that fixed immediately, knowing, oh man, he's going into school. But we had it fixed. But I wanted him to know. So then, a few years later, he was in elementary school. He came up to me and he goes, hey, Mom, what did you mean? What did you mean by that, dad not being my dad? And I said, well, Mom, she's grinning at me. That baby's grinning at me. Isn't it awesome? Yes, it's awesome. Anyway, what did you mean by that? And so I shared a little bit more. Well, I had you before I married your dad. I had you before that. And he, oh, okay. A little bit later, wait a minute, what do you mean? So as he got older, you know, he would come ask more questions. So that's how I've treated everything in my children's life, is I teach them, I share a little bit with them, and then when they have more questions, they know they can come back and ask for more details. And I'm like, okay, she's only six. She's asking about the tampons in the trash can. I should share some more with her. So I'd share a little bit more, going, oh, that's going to happen to you too. It's awful. Yeah. But I would, you know, just, and when she'd come and go, okay, wait, you said that's going to happen to me. I'm going to bleed? Yes. It's a God thing. It's how God's created. You know, but they'd come back and ask questions. And when they came to you with questions, you could then answer them a little bit at a time. And again, I just went through this with a lot of young families that their kids are 6, 7, 8. They're in elementary school, and they're coming to their parents going, I heard at recess, blah, blah, blah. And they're going, we'll talk about that when you're older. And I went, no, no, no. They're talking about it now. So you need to be the one telling them these things. So make sure you're opening the doors of conversation. And then it's the learning to listen, giving little bits at a time. Don't be naive in thinking you don't need to start talking to your children about drugs. I mean, we talk about strangers, but you talk about the things out there in the world that you don't think are going to come across the path of your children. They will. They will. So you start talking to them about how beautiful God created us to be and how we want to take care of this so that we can serve Him, and how wonderful He's created our bodies and how we want to take care of them so that we show Him, thank you, Lord, for this body. And so sharing them with them about, but there will be people, and it may be even as you get older, people are going to tell you that you're ugly, that you don't fit in. And you tell them from the very beginning, no, you're beautiful. Remember who created you. So don't be naive not to talk about those things before they've asked. Some of these things you need to start planting the seeds so that they know they can come back to you and talk to you about them. I also think as you're dealing with some of these things, and most of your children won't deal with drugs, alcohol, pornography, but don't think, well, it won't happen to my family. Don't think that, because it can happen. So making sure you're a parent that keeps that door open, but also if your child comes to you and says, okay, I needed you to know I went to this party and we were all drinking. We were all drinking, and I went home with my friend because I didn't want to come home, but I don't even remember the party. Your reaction needs to be, how's that make you feel? How'd you feel the next morning? Were you sick? Do you like knowing you don't remember what happened at the party? Make sure your reaction isn't, kaboom, you should know better than that. That's not how we need to react. The minute we react reactionary, we push them away. I'm voice of experience here. But make sure you open the door for them to go, okay, Mom didn't blow up when I told her that I went and made this bad choice, or mom didn't attack me. Be careful of hammering them with scripture. That tends to be our reaction to, well, you know what God says. And they're going, I just needed you to know that I really didn't mean to do this, or I really made a bad choice. Give them a minute in that moment of confession. Step back out of it a little bit, because if you show them compassion during that moment, show them some grace, show them some mercy, they're going to come back to you and go, Mom, how do I avoid that? How do I stay away from that? So making sure you're opening the door there and going, you may be in situations, and they may have the best friends. They may have, don't be naive in thinking their church friends aren't the friends that they're going to go drinking with either. Don't think that. I was the church friend that went drinking with the church friends. So don't think that. Make sure you're talking to them about that and looking at those friendships together without being judgmental. So understanding the conversations and how to handle those conversations. If I showed you the notes on this paper, I'm like, what? I don't want to miss anything, but whatever. Conversations, I've also written at the top of this, We've just discovered that 8 years old is a huge thing right now. It is. My son came to me and he goes, Mom, do you remember having troubles with us when we were eight? And I'm like, no. But then Wayne and I did some asking around and some research. Right now, 8 years old is when children are struggling. They're not little toddlers, little kids anymore, and they're not big kids anymore, but they don't know who they are. They're really struggling with that. So if you have an eight-year-old or know of a family with an eight-year-old, you need to give them some love and help them understand to be patient. And as you go through these steps of parenting, different phases, different ages, keep in mind that your child has never been that age before either. And make sure you communicate with them, okay, Leslie, that's my daughter, okay, Leslie, I have never had a six-year-old Leslie before. I've never had to do a six-year-old Leslie before. I've never had to do a 12-year-old Leslie before. I did a 12-year-old Daniel, and I did a 12-year-old Jeremy, and a 12-year-old Kyle, and a 12-year-old Josh, and they were all different. So understanding, making sure you're communicating that with your children. Sometimes as parents, we tend to be prideful. We don't want them to think we don't know what we're doing. Let them know. Man, I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with that. Let the 8-year-old have her little blow up, or the 12-year-old or the 16-year-old have her little blow up. After she simmers back down, let her know, okay, we need to be careful of disrespect. We need to be careful of how you talk to me, because I can't let you talk to me that way. That's disrespectful, sinful. I can't let you talk that way. But I understand. I've blown up at your dad. I've crossed that line with you. But how can we protect ourselves for the next time? Make sure you're talking with them about those things and having those conversations, pulling them in, and even when they're little, pulling them in and going, what can mommy do for you? What can mommy do? Doesn't mean you're catering to them. Doesn't mean you're giving in. You're trying to figure out how to not have that same situation again. That's what you're trying to do. So make sure you're doing that. So having conversations with our children, I think this is the basis of everything as you raise your children and have relationships with your children. If you're not listening to their stories about Susie on the playground or Susie down the street or Jack that's the neighbor behind, if you're not listening to those stories, they know you're not listening. They're going to quit sharing anything with you. They're not going to share anything with you. And then when you try to talk to them, I want to tell you about Jesus. They're going, I don't care what you have to say. You don't care what I have to say. So make sure you're learning to listen and have those conversations. And then the second area of difficult parenting situations is electronics. We live in a world that we are blessed with electronics. I love the fact that I drive down the street and I see this historical marker or whatever, and I'm like, what is that? Oh, wow. And I know it right then and there. Or it's like, oh, I would really like to have that taco stuff we had at the restaurant. I'm going to see if I can find that recipe. I'm standing in the grocery store and I have it. But we also have access to pornography and all of these other things that our children have access to on any type of electronic device. So we need to make sure that we are creating a safe place for them to be, a safe place for them to have that. It's going to be a part of their lives. We can't just take it away. Now, that's a good punishment, by the way, if you use that at some point. But we need to teach them how to use it correctly. We need to show them how to use it correctly. I love the fact that even Steve Jobs, that created the whole thing, he has times in his phone when they come to dinner, and when they have dinner at night around the table as a family, they have to put all their phones in a basket. They don't bring them to the table. They have family time without electronic devices. And so you need to have boundaries for your children where the time limits are concerned. Make sure you have that. It gets on my nerves if I'm sitting there having a conversation with someone and they're on their phone. It hurts me a little bit because I've had to tell Wayne, he does a lot of work through his phone for the church. And every now and then I have to say, I feel like you're not listening to me because you're having multiple conversations everywhere else. Now, I'm not a big baby. I get it. I know what his job is. But there's certain conversations I want to have with him that I went, can I have your full attention? So making sure with your children that you're teaching them some time limits in there. And making sure, I remember when I was a kid, I remember my mom coming into my room and asking for my diary at one point. And I'm like, how dare you ask for my personal property? I can remember, this is mine. And my mom going, I'm your mom. I need to know what's going on in your life. And I'm like, how do I rip the pages out before I give it to her? You know? But we need to be able to pick up our child's phone at any point and look and see what they're doing. What are they searching? Or their computer. What's their history on their computer? What are they looking at? Who are they talking to? You think it doesn't influence them? My little granddaughter, she's 5 now. When she was two, she was sitting there playing, and I said something to her, and she responded to me in a foreign tongue. And I went, what was that? And my daughter says, she watches these YouTube videos that are in Japanese, and she speaks Japanese to me all the time. And I went, what is she saying? And Leslie goes, I don't know. And I went, I don't think that's good. I think you should probably know what's going on there. But our children have access to all kinds of things, wonderful things, but we need to make sure what it is. We need to know what's going on. Also, who are they talking to? Who are they communicating with? And I know a lot of this stuff you've heard before. I'm just repeating it. But we have our kids, our girls can be talking to old men that are saying they're 13. That's dangerous stuff. Our young men can be talking to old men, thinking it's a young girl. So be careful. Watch that. It is your business. It is your business as long as they're under your roof. I know that sounds like an old lady, but as long as they're under your roof, it is your business. You need to take that phone. And that wasn't my life. My kids were just starting to get phones as they left the house, so I didn't have to deal with that. But I'm watching it with my grandchildren, and I have grandchildren that are 16 and 15 and 14, and I can watch my children go, hand me your phone, and they don't hesitate. Okay. And I know there would have been a day in my life when my mom would have said, okay, hand me your phone. I'm like, but it's my phone. Hand me your phone. So make sure you're on top of that. Make sure you're making sure that this is your job to protect your children in this world as well, in the electronic world. So making sure you're doing that, having boundaries, watching the pornography, it's a huge issue right now. Talking to your children, not just your boys, but to your girls too, about pornography and the fact that, you know, God created us all different. God created us all beautiful. But that is a private thing that he has given us as a blessing for our marriages, and that's a gift that you will give. And then don't be crushed if your child says, man, mom, I've been looking at pornography, and he's 13 or she's 13, and go, I know, honey, I know how tempting it can be. What made you want to do that? Ask them questions. Find out what the thinking is going on in their head. What made you look into that? Who was it, your idea, or did somebody give you that idea? Where did you see those pictures, or did somebody send you those pictures? You make sure you know what's going on there. Make sure you're talking with them and guarding them. Now, there is a book, and I'm not just promoting it because it's my son, but my son wrote a book called Disconnect. Disconnect is the name of the book, and there are so many other books out there, but it's Disconnect by Jeremy Roberts. There are a lot of members of the church that are writing books now on how to deal with the electronic world. Get that. I sent a message to my son, and I said, I know they have an app on their phone that they use to watch the texts of their children. Well, he was at a youth rally and he never responded to me. But there's all kinds of wonderful apps out there that you can connect your phone to your kids' phones. So make sure you're looking into those things and protecting your children. And then the next area of difficult parenting situations is sex. It is an issue. In my family growing up, you didn't talk about it. Sex was a dirty thing. It just was. And I think we take some of the beauty away from it because we don't talk about it. We've let the world paint such an ugly picture when it should be something beautiful. And if we would talk about that with our children, starting when they're young, about how God created us so beautiful, you think your child doesn't see a difference between your body and your husband's body? Yeah, they do. And talk about how God made you beautiful. And we also live in a world that, where sex is concerned, we have the gender issues and we have all of that going on. So starting while they're really young, going, look how beautiful you are. And look how different. Do you see how you're different than your sister? Do you see how you're different than your brother? God made us different on purpose. And look how beautiful you are. And not focusing on gender. Kids know the difference from a boy and a girl when they're little. They do. The world starts coming in and starts teaching different things. But we need to make sure they understand the beauty of who you are because you belong to the Lord. And not focus just on you're a girl or you're a boy, but you're beautiful because you were created in the image of God. But starting having those conversations while they're little and don't shut it down. Don't shut it down. Use the same advice I was talking about before with just the little bits of information. Now, when my kids started getting old enough, it was actually my second boy had a serious girlfriend before the rest of them. They started, I don't know what the term was then, going out or whatever it was, when they were 13. They weren't going anywhere, but they were 13. They were 13, and so I'm watching and you know, they didn't go anywhere. They weren't going out on dates. They weren't doing that. Well, then they got a little older, still the same girlfriend. He was able to drive, but he double dated with his older brother. So I kind of watched that. He hit about 17, 18. He was heading off to college. No, it was before that, actually. It's before that because I'm watching them and it's serious now. I mean, they knew each other forever. And I'm watching the situation, and if you don't watch your children, shame on you. But if your daughter's sitting on her boyfriend's lap in front of you, they're start asking some questions. If she's comfortable enough to sit on her boyfriend's lap in front of you, you need to start talking to her. If you haven't been talking to her about sex, you might be behind. But you need to talk to them. So I'm watching my kids going, something's going on here. Something's going on. So I decided, I talked to Wayne and I said, I'm not just going to assume that her parents have talked to her because most parents don't. So I took them to dinner and I talked to both of them. I said, I'm watching this and I don't know what has happened. I don't know what's going on, but let's talk about what should be happening within your relationship. I didn't talk about what shouldn't. I said, let's see, let's talk about what your relationship should look like. Who are you? How are we going to bring glory to God in this relationship? She is now my daughter-in-law, cried and went home and talked to her mom because she had never talked to her mom about any of that. And I mean, they shared with me where they were at in their relationship and I didn't blow up. I was disappointed. I didn't tell them I was disappointed, but I said, okay, now what are we going to do now? Who are you going to be now? So finding ways to talk to them. And as your children start bringing other people into your life, into their life, especially in such a close way, don't assume somebody else has talked to them. Don't assume somebody's talked to the person that is spending more time with your child than you are. Make sure you're talking with them. I did it with all of the kids as they built serious relationships. A couple of them, they said, Mom's talked to me. And I went, then you need to remember what she said. You need to remember what she said. I'm watching this. And especially where this is concerned, talking to your children, it's not that we mistrust them. I don't mistrust. I don't not trust my child. I know what it's like to be 16 years old and have somebody loving on me and kissing me. I mean, I know what it's like. Now I'm going to get gross. Be a 62-year-old woman those kisses start going. I know what that feels like. So at my age, now I can go, are you kidding me? I'm so tired. But when you're 16 and those emotions and hormones get going and you don't know how to control it, you really don't. I love him. He loves me. If I don't, will he love me? If I don't, will she love me? So making sure you're talking about that, about the importance of don't put yourself in a situation that you can't control. Or if you do, just call me. Just send me a text. Whatever you need, let me know how I can help you. Or if you do, don't be afraid to come tell me and we can talk about how to make it better for next time. I had one of mine that he had to go, okay, we can't go out alone anymore. Nope, sorry. We can't go out any alone anymore. They double dated through college because they wanted to wait to get married at the end of college and they knew who they were. And they said, no, we can't be alone or we're going to have sex. And I went, you know who you are. You're your mother's child. But talk to them in a positive way about sex. Make sure you're doing that. And understanding, because we talk about self-control where sex is concerned all the time, they're not at an age to have that. When they're young, they don't have that because they've not experienced that. So help them through that. Help them learn how to have that control. Help them with that journey because it is tricky. And as you're dealing with this, if issues do arise, and they may arise, I have Christian families that their children are coming up and saying, I think I'm, their daughters are saying, I think I'm male and I don't know who I am and I'm trans. And parents aren't knowing how to deal with this. And I think we need to be preparing ourselves for this because it is coming in from the world. And again, don't think it won't happen to your family. The families I'm talking about are wonderful families, raised their children so strong and beautiful, and once their children step out into the world. So making sure you're talking about it and showing compassion. I have a young friend that came to me and said, this is the experience I've had. I'm so sorry. I'm such a sinner. I don't know where I stand in this. Why is Satan trying to get me? I have this demon. And I went, stop. You have no demon. That's not a demon. You're struggling and you have compassion. And I talked with her and I said, you're beautiful. You're just at a weird place in life. I didn't make it okay. But I wanted her to know you're beautiful. God still loves you. You can work through this. And I wanted her to know she could turn to somebody that wasn't going to be repulsed by her, because that's usually the way we respond is, oh, you know, that's a sin. Let me show you. And that's not what they need. The world is embracing these people, or at least that's how it appears. They're going, come here, we love everyone. You be you, and we'll love you. They don't love them. They don't know what love looks like. We need to be the ones going, come here, sakes. That's got to be a struggle for you. That's got to be a struggle for your family. How can we help you? What can we do for you? I mean, we ignore gossip, but we won't ignore that and help them through their issue. So we need to make sure we're talking about that and be compassionate and understanding and help them in that. And be careful of saying, well, that's not natural for you to feel that way. If they feel a certain way, I have an adult friend, a man, that is attracted to men. He is rock solid Christian. He knows he's attracted to men. He said, I won't follow that. That's a sinful life. I won't follow that. But because I'm attracted to men doesn't make me a sinner. It's when I follow through with the sin, when I become the sinner. And so many don't understand that. So being compassionate and letting them work through that issue or supporting them in the choice to stay away from sin, that's huge. That's a huge choice. So making sure that's the whole sexual aspect of things. And the last one on the list is dealing with prodigals. And we have two. We have two that have turned and left. And when you think about dealing with prodigals, it's really hard. It's really hard. When my children made some bad decisions in the first place, my initial response was, vomit scripture on them, just blah, scripture on them, which just pushed my kids away from me. It just did. So we've had to go through some different things. As you go through, both of my children divorced. My daughter left her husband for another man and married him. My son was unfaithful. His wife left him, and he's married again. He's the one that wants nothing to do with the Lord. My daughter's on a different path. But in both of their situations, I love my children. And I have people on this side going, you can never speak to them again. We don't fellowship with those that will. I do too.
How do you bring them back?
Yes. Thank you. And then I have people on this side that go, just pretend nothing ever happened. And just keep moving forward. Bring that new family together. And I'm like, okay, somewhere in here is the right way to do it. And it's a day-by-day process. It is a figure it out day-by-day, circumstance-by-circumstance. And there has been circumstances where I'm going, I don't know how to deal with this. And now there are grandchildren involved in those families. And I'm going, my goal for all of them, the ones that have come in through marriage, the grandbabies, I have some bonus children from both marriages. My goal for all of them is Jesus. That's my goal for them. And then Jesus and the grace of God can deal with the rest. And that's not for me to deal with. It is not for me to deal with. I can't ignore sin because I love my children. So when I'm around them, oh, I talk Jesus. I'm not ugly, but I, you know, my little grandson in Michigan is not going to know Jesus if I don't say something. So take him to the zoo with my son, and I'm like, look at all the beautiful birds that God created. And my son will look at me, and I'm like, and he'll tell me, it's okay, Mom. It's okay. but I'm gonna do that. And if I just shoved my son away, I wouldn't be able to do that. And so finding the balance in there, and that's why as people go through these different things with their children, don't judge them. You're not walking in those shoes. Every day is a different decision. Every day is a different choice. And my goal is to get them back to Jesus. And I'm watching my son, my oldest son, his wife, Jenny, no religious background at all. Her family's never had a religious background. Jenny had a daughter. She was never married before, but has a daughter that's 16. And one of my last visits, the 16-year-old Ella asked to spend the day with me. And so we go to lunch. We're hanging out all day long. And Ella goes, okay, tell me about your Jesus. And I went, okay. But Ella's doing the, I have kids at school that wear the What Would Jesus Do bracelets, and they say they're Christians. And she goes, and they're some of the worst people I know. And I went, I'm sorry about that. There are bad people everywhere. But through my prodigals, they brought all of these people through my path that I never would have got to talk to about Jesus. So as you deal with this, and you may have siblings, it may be siblings, it may be others in your life, be patient with them. That's why I pray, God, continue to be patient. We have work to do here. But understand that, trust Him. Trust God. Trust Him to work in their lives. Open yourself up to that. Be careful. I really do say, be careful of bombarding them with Scripture. I think that just pushes them away. They're going to come to you when they want to hear that. They're going to come and ask, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? But keeping them close is how you're going to be able to share Jesus with them. But like I said, it's tricky how you do that and what that looks like. But pray about it. I pray about every situation. Wayne and I have been nose to nose on it, going, you can't behave that way towards her. You can't do that to him. And then the next time it's him going, you can't do that. And once we step back and go, okay, wait, let's do this together. And we kind of balance each other out then. And it kind of helps. But having somebody to help you on that journey is important too. Parenting is tricky. It just is. It is tricky. And surrounding yourself with the church family will help you with some of that. Find those people that have a genuine love for others and a genuine heart for the Lord. Talk to them about that. Somebody you can go to and talk to about these deep things in your heart, and they can advise you. There are so many families in the church that have prodigal children, but if you know they've shut them out, I can't darken their door. I haven't spoke to my daughter in 18 years. Unless their daughter made that choice, that's not who I'd go to for advice. I'd find me somebody that has a heart of compassion, because that's what you want for your children. Not that I'm judging. Everybody's path is different. But make sure you pray about it. It's a very hard journey. Parenting can be tricky. You know, I want to look at my 42-year-old and go, you get over there in the corner till I tell you you can get up. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And he's a good man. He just has lost his way. So that's the end. I can hear my husband in there. I think he's wrapping it up too. I will be praying for all of us, not just you, us as parents. I love the fact that you're here. Shows me what good mamas you are. I love it. I love it. Keep it up. Find somebody to talk to, somebody that will take your hand and pray with you. Make sure you have that person in your life. You need that. Somebody that genuinely will stop and go, let's pray about it right now. Boom. You find those people. You be that person for somebody. I love you all, and I'll be praying. Thank you. We're going to go back in there. I think we have a little bit of a break. Maybe. I don't know what the schedule says. And then you're welcome. And then we have two more lessons from Wayne. So thank you, ladies.